Hello out there, this is Megan Rand, and I'm back with another episode of Random Encounters, short chats with friends, colleagues, heroes. My special guest today is a gentleman who I feel needs no introduction. However, you may know the work, but you might not know the face or the name. So this is Daniel Hill of Danji's Designs. Daniel, how are you?
Hello. It's good to be here. I'm good, thank you.
Oh man, it's good to talk to you. It's good to talk to anyone right about now. Friends that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was actually hoping I would run into you last fall when I was supposed to be going to the UK for our tour with Slum Village, which...
I was excited for that. That was crazy, yeah. That was a shame.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. Hopefully we'll get back out there. But Daniel, you are in the UK. Where exactly in the UK are you?
Well, I was used to be in Stoke-on-Trent, but recently, just before Christmas, I moved to Liverpool, to moving with my girlfriend. So now I'm Liverpool-based in the UK, which I think a lot more people will know than my old my old home.
So you've moved from a small town to a bigger place. So have you seen, outside of, I guess, the normal differences of going from, like, you know, rural to urban, have you seen any difference in the art and culture out in Liverpool that has maybe inspired you in a different way?
I think so. Like, Liverpool is, like, is definitely one of those places that's known for, like, the city of culture. I think it's actually won awards for that sort of thing, because obviously he's got the music background that most people know. But yeah, there's definitely, like, a lot of, you can just, like, walk down the main streets and you see, like, lots of, like, artistic, like, sculptures and things and, like, historical landmarks. It's definitely inspiring. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk about the beginning, or at least my beginnings with you. Do you remember the very first piece of art you did for me?
I do, yeah. It was a tour poster. The Odds and Ends tour, I think it was.
Wow. Okay. Wow, I'm glad you remembered that, because I didn't.
I remember it really clearly.
So the Odds and Ends tour was with, was that with Sky Blue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we did D&D Sluggers, Sky Blue. I remember now. This was 2014. I don't exactly remember how I found you, but I was hoping that from your perspective, you would remember how we came onto each other's radars.
Okay. So it was really weird, because before we started working together, I'd only been aware of your music for, like, several months. It wasn't that long. I stumbled across the Kotaku article on Black Materia, which features some of the songs off the album. I was like, this is amazing. I've never heard this before. This is a really, really unique, like, take on two of my favorite genres of game music and hip hop. And so I followed all your social media, keep up and stuff. And one day, I was at this point in time, I was in my final year at university doing my final major project. So it was, or I think it might have been just after or during the finals or something. It was a stressful time. I remember that. And I saw on one of your pages that you were after an artist for a tour poster. And just like on a whim, I just reached out and messaged with my portfolio saying, hey, if you need any art, here's my stuff. If you think it's good enough to use, just get in touch and we can work together. I didn't really think you would actually get back to me, because at this point I had no idea of, like, sort of, like, you know, if, like, how big you were, if that makes sense. So, like, so I was like, oh, I don't know if it's just, like, is this going to happen or not, but I'll just throw my name out there and see if it does. And you got back to me fairly quickly. And
you did what we call shooting your shot.
Yes.
And, and it worked out, man. I saw your art and I was super impressed. Now, normally what I do when I'm working or looking to work with a new artist, I'll ask them to do maybe a somewhat smaller job before we move into, like, the big stuff. So it's like, all right, we got this tour poster. You know, the thing is with tours, you could go to any city and any person or any like promoter could just rework your tour flyer at any time. Oh, yeah. They could do their own thing, and they could, oh, my cousin at the venue is a really good artist, so we'll handle it, you know. So there's always a chance that they may not even use the artwork that you're going to supply to them. So, but with this though, with the Ozzyness tour, I thought the graphics were great. You knocked it out of the park, and then we moved on. This was 2014. So I believe it must have been sometime later in this same year that we started working on artwork for what would be considered to be like my biggest work, one of the most important works that I've done, which was the album Random.
Was that now, the same thing?
I mean, the album came out in 2015. So I would imagine we started doing the art in 2014, but I'm not sure. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like I'm a person that's a bit of a stickler when it comes to art.
And, well, you have to be.
I feel like, yes, you definitely have to be. When you're protective of what you want, what emotions you want to evoke, what, you know, fonts and things like that. I call myself a font snob, absolutely. I'm a super font snob.
Well, fonts are really important. I think a lot of people don't often consider the font.
Nine times out of ten, if someone does art for me, I'm probably not going to like the font on the first. You know, I don't understand it, but it's just with me. I don't even know what to ask for, but I just know what I want. And, so what I wanted to ask you about is, how did this journey begin for you? Like, let's talk about your art background, and then we'll work our way up to creating the big stuff.
Wow, okay, so it's one of those like generic answers where someone asks an artist like, oh, what's your background? And I respond by saying, oh, I've been drawing since as long as I remember, but that is literally the truth. I'd always be into drawing like comic book characters and characters from cartoons and stuff. Like when I was younger, I wanted to be like a cartoonist and things like what I wanted to do is like art-wise has changed like so many times. Like in high school, I did like fine art courses and graphic design courses, and I was sort of good at both of them. So I sort of I've always existed in sort of like a couple of different vocation sort of areas. So when I left school, I initially went to study fine art at a college that was actually awful. So that didn't really work out.
Tell me more. What was awful about that experience?
I think I was just not in the right place to do that sort of course. And like the tutors and the lecturers were sort of like, they didn't seem to be like very good people. They seemed like either really snobby or like they just didn't click with me personally. And I don't know if because I was like 16 and quite young and like not in the right mindset for that sort of environment. But I remember dropping out fairly quickly into that course. And sort of, I floated around for a bit after that, like doing bits and bobs of work and stuff and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I got into a college to do graphic design, which was sort of not my first option because even though I knew I was quite good at graphic design, it wasn't something I was like, oh, this is, I get to do draw characters and then I get to do artwork. And so it was more like the fundamentals and, you know, the technical side of thing. But when I started that course, I found I was like really good at it. And because I was like excelling it, I was enjoying my time with the people there. That was the first time like I started developing the sort of skills I use now in a sort of professional sense because we'd work with sort of clients and stuff. So that was like, I guess, sort of start my professional career because then I'd start doing freelance stuff while I was at college and think bits and bobs and work there. And after college, I weirdly made the decision to go to university to do game art design because it was sort of at a point where the government was on the brink of raising the cost for tuition fees, and it was sort of a last chance to go to university if you wanted to go. If you wanted to go and then not owe triple the amount of money back later. So, I made like sort of a wild decision to go to university in Leicester. And that was a bit of a crazy time because obviously I don't really work in game art now, but it was a big learning experience. And I think it really helped me sort of like sort of mold my brain into really knowing I wanted to do illustration and sort of design work over other things. So really, I know it wasn't really a straightforward answer, but I've sort of ping-ponged between a lot of different things, like education-wise, and in between education, I sort of started putting myself out there to work with like small businesses and people who might need my artwork, just doing bits and bobs of everything. So yeah, I know I probably just went through like my school years more than anything, but I guess that's like how I sort of developed from a kid who was just like doodling and sketching into like doing professional stuff, really.
Nice. So do you remember your first professional job or the first time that you got paid money for creating something that you enjoyed?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember now. That's quite a difficult one. I remember a big one when I was at college doing graphic design was there was this bar in town, this like new drinks bar that was opening called Tonic. I'm not sure if it's even still open, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But they wanted a new logo. And I think they found my work through, like, I've done like an exhibition at the college, like showing off my work, and someone who at the bar had stopped by and took my card. And it was the first time anything like that had happened, where I'd had a business card taken and people wanted work off me, so I felt like a real big shot.
professional stuff, that's
cool. Yeah, I was like, oh, I finally feel like I'm actually doing something with this. But yeah, they wanted a logo, and I did their logo, and it was, I remember, it was the first one I think these might have been work before that, but it was the first one I remember because they had their sign outside with my logo on it on a big sign, and it was like a really cool moment to see like the work that I've done that been paid for, and it's also like being put on display like that. It was a really cool feeling.
That is super cool. Wow. All right. I have to ask, what's the biggest myth about your profession that you can probably debunk? Like, what do people think is so cool about being an artist that isn't really that cool?
God, I'm trying to think, because like you see all these memes, like the what people think and then the reality.
Yeah.
I guess it's like an artist isn't really as glamorous job as people think it is. Like people think you're in a studio all day creating. But I don't know. It's more about the work you put in more than the talent, I guess. And I guess that's the same for a lot of things. Like, even though obviously I've always had an affinity for drawing and art in some way, I wasn't like born like amazing. I had to like work really, really hard to get to where I am now. It's the same with anything really, but I guess artists, people think you've got some sort of like God-given gift that you just have. But no, I had to really like try, like I said, with when I was going through college and stuff, I had to try lots of different things to figure out what I wanted to do. And it didn't always work out. And like on the job side of things, like it's not always like dealing with clients is like one of the hardest things you can do, really, especially when you're doing it freelance, because you can deal with so many crap people that mess you around. And that's another side of things that people don't often see is all the projects that don't come out, or all the projects that sort of are like a nightmare to work on because the people you're working with are just terrible. So I don't know. I guess it's the work versus talent myth. That's, I guess, quite a commonplace knowledge now, but I guess it's a big one.
That is a big one, though. I hope I'm not one of those difficult people to work with. But no. You don't have to tell me now, especially not in the midst of my podcast. But
yeah, Rand's a real dictator when it comes to Williams.
Well, thanks. Let's start on the random artwork, which later on became the cover of the book, Dream Master. Now, I thought the art to me got such a great reaction, and it was, I think, the most telling and I think descriptive piece of art that I had ever, you know, had for myself, which is why it's been used, you know, for the book as well. But on the scale of art projects that you've done, as far as, you know, maybe album covers, posters, promotional things, logos, where did this one rank on like the difficulty scale? Was this fairly fairly easy for you? Is it a challenge? Where do you put it?
Well, first off, any project that involves a portrait is instantly a challenge because you run the risk of offending the person you're drawing. as good as like a drawer you might be, it's like there's always that risk you might get a slight detail wrong. Cause I've done it before multiple times where something's been slightly off and the person's been like, my eyes don't look like that, and I've had to try and figure out how to correct it. But it was the most exciting one today. I remember this point because I think at this point I'd only done a few album covers. I'd done one for one of your tours, I think an EP with Mr. Miranda.
Yes.
And I think a few was for, I think at this point, like, I was starting to spread my name around sort of the nerdcore and independent, like, hip-hop music scene that you were, like, part of. My name was sort of getting out there a bit, so I was getting a bit of work in to do more music stuff, so that was cool. But, yeah, this was one of the biggest ones, most ambitious, like, ambition-wise, because I could tell you just, like, a lot going into it. This was a Kickstarter, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter. Yeah, because I remember having to do lots of different versions of the cover for like the vinyl and then the like, I think it was a tape, I think. Was there a tape? Cassette
there
tape?
There was a cassette. Yeah. This cover has definitely been redone quite a bit because
yeah.
I think the Kickstarter color was maybe it was a green background. It was a green early version. There was one with the letters behind the photo. I have so many pictures of it in my head, and yeah. It had to be reformatted for cassette. It had to be reformatted for 12-inch vinyl, for CD, for tour posters, we did a day and night poster for it. Like there was many things built around it.
The day and night poster is quite funny actually, because initially I think I did day one, and originally you wanted night, so the both of them happened by accident because I did the wrong one first.
Oh wow, I still have a few of those, and like I love them so much.
I
know that this was one that we went back to so much, but each time I saw it in a different light, it still looked great to me, and that's kind of how I knew that it was something that was going to really stick. And luckily it did, man. So I want to thank you for being a part of that journey.
I appreciate it.
A very, vital part. I mean, I don't think artists, you really can't overstate the importance of, great visuals, to go with your art. It almost doesn't matter what the music is going to sound like if the art looks like garbage. So, yeah. I feel about it.
No, that's but, definitely true.
Yeah, because I could think of so many times where I've looked at something and been thinking about clicking on it, thinking about buying it, and then the artwork could instantly turn me off. Or reverse, it could turn me completely onto it. So think about that very, very, very much so. And another thing I really appreciate about you is that you are very... you're very much on your business side of the game. You send me invoices. It's always, whether it's always a fair price. It's always done timely. How important is it to you to operate as professionally as possible, even outside of, delivery of artwork?
Well, I think it's you got to think of it like when you're making this your main job and people are paying you to do the work for them, never mind like music artists who like your art's going to like represent their art sort of thing. I'm trying to think of a succinct way to explain it. It's like it benefits everyone to be the most professional you can be, basically. Just because like, If you're not acting professionally or not like being on top of the business side of things, it just makes you look bad, and it makes it harder to get work. it's like the really basic like explanation of that. But also like I always think of myself as not that professional, to be honest. So I appreciate you saying that I am. But I think that's just a case of always feeling like there's better ways to do things and be more organized and being on top of time management and things like that. But yeah, it's just super important, just because like you just want things to go as smoothly as possible with who you're working with. And if you have things like invoices and you like sending mock-ups and the communication's there, I think projects just will always end up, or should always hopefully end up on a positive note.
They should. But as we know, they don't always.
No.
So I want to get to some juice. Now, you don't have to tell me any specifics, but can you please tell me about the worst job experience that you've ever had?
Oh, I'd be careful here, because some of them, there's one I'm currently still working on that's like a series.
Oh, gosh. And
so I can't really say anything. But
about that one then.
I can vaguely say about the client just not understanding basic things like perspective in artwork and certain things that I've drawn that they've just gone, nope, I don't want that. And just had to keep going back to the world because they're sort of like an older client and they're very eccentric and it's just been like not understanding certain things. But yeah, I can't really go into too much.
All right, I don't want to get you in trouble or lose you any business. That's why I was hoping. Talk about an older one.
Okay.
I'm sure you had an older client in the past that has maybe made this job very difficult for you. And tell me about that.
Yeah.
What's that hard job look like for a freelance artist?
Hard job. Well, I've had it not too many times, but there's been a couple of examples where they've described what they wanted for you. Sometimes in detail, sometimes not in detail, and you've done your best to sort of translate that, and you've come back with the art, and they've said, no, it's completely different to how I wanted it. Now, there was an early example of that, where that was a case where the person that I drew decided it looked nothing like them. Which was like, so why didn't you send photo reference? But that, I think that was a case of me also being a bit inexperienced and with like providing all the info that I needed. So that was sort of on me as well. There's been a few cases where people have just straight up just like not paid the rest of the money and just like, I haven't heard of them. That doesn't too much, but, there was one guy who I've done a fair few covers for who the last cover I did, he just like hasn't followed up the rest. And even though I've messaged him multiple times, he just never got back to me. Mm. So I probably went with him again.
Yeah, I figure lack of communication or bad communication is at the root of probably most disastrous experiences.
There's been a few projects just haven't come out. And I just haven't heard from the people, and you've just like vanished the face of the earth. And it's been like, okay, I'm not sure what's happened there.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get into some personal stuff then. What are you nerding out on right now? Is there anything right now that's really catching your eye that is outside of work?
Ooh. Anything. Well, I've started watching WandaVision on Disney Plus with my girlfriend. Because we're huge Marvel nerds.
I was not sure what to expect. I watched the first two.
Yeah.
But I love that style of TV show, though. Like, you know, it feels like classic TV, Bewitched or I Love Lucy. And my mother and I used to watch that kind of stuff together. So I really think she would love it. So yeah. I'll probably maybe watch it again with her. But I heard it completely flips by the third episode.
Yeah, I'm like really intrigued about where it's going because I've never really read the comics to do Marvel stuff. I didn't really grow up reading the Marvel comics, so like my exposure to all these heroes is mainly through the movies and like cartoons and stuff. So this is all new to me, so I don't know what to expect from what's going to happen. So I'm really intrigued with the setting and everything.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to that. All right, now let me give you some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
What did you eat for dinner last night?
Oh, we ate pizza.
Classic Friday pizza.
Yep.
All right. If you were given $50,000 to start a second business, oof, what business would it be?
Oh man, that's hard. a museum for geeky stuff. I don't know. That's probably like, I don't even know if I'd cost that much.
Okay, that's good.
That's probably just like not a good investment at all. I'm just on the spot.
What's the emoji you use the most in texting?
Oh God, I use the sort of the big anime sad eye ones, ironically a lot.
Okay, that's a good one. If someone were to play you in a movie, who would you want it to be?
I've heard people say look a bit like, is it Seth Green? in photo. I don't know if he's actually like me in any way, but I've heard that comparison yes. before.
Okay, wow.
I that. So that's the appearance-wise.
Okay, I like it. Wow.
Yeah.
If you had three adjectives that could describe Danji's designs, which adjectives would you choose?
Three. Creative. They're all like generic. I can think of.
Generic. No.
Yeah, generic. I guess nerdy. There's always an element of sort of like video games or like comics or like cartoons and stuff in my work in some way, I guess, in my style. Imaginative. I like to think I'm quite imaginative.
I like that. All right. I think that is it. I want to ask you, of course, to plug yourself, let people know how they can find you, how they can commission you for work and all that good stuff.
Okay, brilliant. Well, you can find most of my links and stuff through my website, which is danjisdesigns.com. That's Danjis Designs. And on social media under the same name. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. You can find my email on there as well. There's a contact form. You can email me at danjisdesigns@outlook.com for my professional commission contact.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for not only giving me the time to chat, but for all your amazing art over all the years. Thank you so much. You have you've really taken my music to another level, another place.
Oh, so, thank you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. I hope we're together again, hanging out in the UK.
Yeah, sometime soon, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is Daniel Hill of Danji's Designs, and this is another episode of Random Encounters. Hope you learned something new, and I will see you on the flip side. Wait, before I go, I like to end with a song, so now I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh.
Daniel, what song of mine should we play on the way out?
Could we play My Getaway with Storyville?
Yes.
I love that song.
Good choice. All right, here it is, My Getaway. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Bye.
This song is dedicated to the things that let us get away from the things that we need to get away from. And usually those things can't speak for themselves. I mean, so this goes out to the hobbies. Back in the day, before rapping and acting this way, I was an active kid that had to go play, and I found my escape with a towel as a cape. Yeah, I was a superhero, powers invented, evil, demented enemies had to be slain. That was the game mom sculpted at the table all day. I made my toys out of clay, cause I had to create. Drew pictures on a blank slate, wrote stories in a notepad. Wrist got tired and I switched to my left hand. But you could read it okay, okay. But what you didn't know? Mom and dad were cursing on full blast. Tears in the screen, something sounded like shattered glass. So I had to pass time in my room by myself for the fun of it. Stayed there for hours when I wasn't on punishment. All that fighting and I wanted none of it. It weighed on my soul like a ton of bricks. As a kid, I could barely stomach it, but I got by with Legos and Play-Doh to the untrained eye. I was being like any other boy or girl, but in my own mind, I was making a whole new world.
I thank you for giving me sunshine on my dark days.
convictions. They're not proud of insisting that they have problems and probably do, but being the victim isn't making anything better. It's simply better at making excuses, but I ain't gonna do it. I'm locked in position for making this music and rocking the rhythms, cause it's taking me to this higher feeling when I'm feeling reclusive, and my soul needs to soothing to the tune of a different drummer. Parabola bumming from slumming to coming from nothing to something, and once I'm jumping over these humps, I'm hitting the ground running unstoppable, leaping over any obstacle. So hot that I better stop, drop and roll, but I'm cooler than a popsicle. I never lost control, never flew off the handle. Better the man standing for what he believed. We all need reprieve and all need relief from the work days, hurt, stress, and the pressure from the worst days. We all have things that let us get away when the rest of the world doing its dirt day. Cause reality is full of letdowns and hassles, but on stage I'm the king of this castle, my own domain, I reign the master. No strings, no tethers, no ropes, no lassos.
I thank you for giving me sunshine on my dark days. I needed you here with me, and you were my gift.
Right on walls, imagination lingers with a great pretender. Now my mom got me a sketchbook, told me if I did it again, she'd break my fingers. So within that book I drew Mega Man bosses with sequels. Who would've knew? 20 years later, I'll be meeting the people I look up to. Dream come true, not necessarily. There will be a pot of gold lying at the end of the rainbow. Trying to stay stable and make the pain go. Nothing worked till I got touched by an angel. No deliveries, but can I be destined for a felony? Murdering a set of keys? Or can it be telling me that this is my destiny and not an elegy? We know what I would have become, but a change it'd be good if it comes. Plenty gamers in the hood, but I had to hit the booth, but they wouldn't know the truth unless I put it the drums. So it begun, it began with the man with the plan to change the world, but nobody knew how to execute. A dollar away from destitute, but stress could truly bring out